What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Black Expat Podcast. My name is Carl, and I'm excited to be rocking with you guys for yet another episode. Woo, not gonna lie, that is a long cheer. I think they must have updated that or something. It's usually only 3 seconds, but that was a long time, but don't worry about it. I feel like I deserve that cheers. Anyway, as does everyone that is out there listening to the Black Expat Podcast. So a lot has been going on. I checked in with my patron. So if you are not a patron of the Black Expat Podcast, sometimes you miss out on quality, highest of qualities episodes that I release only for my patron. So if you want to become a patron of the Black Expat Podcast, please click on the link. Only link you'll find in the description of this podcast, or if you're already on the Podbean app, simply click Become a Patron. Becoming a patron means you are committing to supporting the Black Expat Podcast, the content I put out, and in the future, the donations that I'll be making on behalf of you all and myself to the many charitable foundations that I continue to work with. As you guys know, I still mentor and work with students back home in Chicago, checking with them on a daily, mostly weekly, but pretty much daily basis. I'm helping them along their journey to university or finding their jobs or their careers. And in some cases, one of them I know for sure will be making her journey to live abroad. With that being said, I have a bunch of amazing interviews ahead coming up in the future, right? But for today, one of them with someone who recently moved to France, with someone who is residing in Portugal, someone residing in Spain. So I have a bunch of good content coming out for you guys. Some of those will be, again, for patrons only, because those are very, very special episodes. So again, just cost you a dollar. If you want to do more than that, more than welcome to become a patron and then get access to all of that amazing, those amazing interviews and amazing opportunities that are that come as a result of those interviews. So today I will be having someone joining me on the podcast, someone who's been on the podcast before. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you check out Nini the Newbie. That is the episode where she was on for the very first time here at Arts and Crafts Bar in Taichung, Taiwan, with the Black Expat on the Black Expat Podcast, talking about her journey here. And she's only been here for about a year and a half, I want to say. She'll correct me when she gets on, and what she was able to accomplish, things she's been able to do. But as you guys know, that was before COVID, I want to say, or once COVID wasn't as serious, even though it's always been serious, let's keep it real, as serious as it is back home where we are both from, America, and other countries around the world as well. So a lot of things have changed between now and then. I know for her personally, as for you all personally, and of course for myself personally as well. So once she calls into the podcast, we'll get her interview started. What I want to talk about today, in addition to her interview, and I'm excited, again, she's going to call on whenever she's on and whenever she has time to press the call button and call into the show. So I may be in the middle of something, I may jump to her interview. So guys, don't worry, I'm writing everything down. I'm going to circle back to the important things I'm going to be talking about today. But the title of this podcast is, the guys who probably are looking at it and clicked on it and know what it's called, but if you're listening live, it's called Work to Be Done. Not only expats suffer with these things, but again, I'm going to speak from an expat's perspective. Imposter syndrome, it's real, right? Imposter syndrome, for those of you guys who don't know what it is, it's a phenomenon. It's a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their skills, talents, or accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. Right. So to put it quite plainly and quite simply, it just means that you are afraid of talking about yourself. Right. You're afraid of putting yourself out there and talking about your accomplishments, and you look down upon yourself and you think that, oh, you know what, man, what I'm doing really isn't that cool. Or I don't want people to really know what I'm doing because then they'll try to critique it. Because when I post things, I want to feel good about myself. But what social media has created is a way for us to post things and make us feel good about ourselves and have people make us feel bad about the things that we post, which, as we know, ain't cool at all, and also isn't really true. And then for some of us, for some people, some of us, myself included, you post something, man, this is dope, this is great, this is awesome, this is cool, and then you don't get no likes, and you get like 2 likes, right? And we always joke about this, myself and Patrick, is if you're a male and you post something, you get like 20 likes, and you in there, because you know women, girls, can post things and they'll get likes just because. But for men, we joke about this, right? it's hard to get more than 20 likes unless you are already an influencer or you're doing something that's extravagant or it's like an announcement, right? But other than that, just a regular post. It's like, oh, this is cool. I could go without liking this. And for me, I didn't know. I wasn't brought up in, like, I'm a part of, but I wasn't brought up in the social media like era. So I can post some on social media. I know who will see it. And I always said, when I got on social media and I started posting things before I became the Black Expat, before, you know, CP Travel was a travel company, before owning the bar, it was just for my family to keep track of what I was doing. It's for my mom to see, like, hey, my son's safe. He's out there somewhere on another side of the world. He's country. He's having fun. He's doing great things. It was always just for my family. Like, additional likes from friends and people, like, it's great. It's gratifying. But it's never really been what has defined me, right? It defines a lot of people. And some people, they need those likes. They post so often because they need that interaction, because they don't get it, you know, from people that they're surrounded by. Again, but I think imposter syndrome has become more, especially for expats, or more frequent, especially for expats, as a result of us not being physically at home. And I think before social media, the things we started doing as a result of social media has become more prevalent, because a lot of times, and I put this in perspective, right? So when we're trying to apply for jobs back home, this is the realest it ever gets. Trying to put into words what we've experienced, what we've done into a resume is difficult. And oftentimes our resumes are bypassed as expats simply because it's hard to put into words what we experience. Because it's not just about coming out here and teaching or doing whatever job you do as an expat out here, right? It's about more than that. There's so many things that we encounter, that we go through, that shapes our unique experiences that we have. And I think that's something that it's easier for us to put into words, right? So for us, for many expats I've known, and coronavirus has made this even more prevalent, it's been hard to go back and find a job. Or, you know, we spend so much, or for some of us, depending on the field that you're in, it's easier to find a job, just not in the country that you're from, if that makes sense, right? So in America, jobs are being, everyone's like, oh, we're working from home, work from home, work from home. So jobs are just moving them to work from home. And people who don't want those jobs, or expats that went back, they jumped on the ability to work in virtual jobs immediately. So for those who kind of were stagnant and didn't jump right into it, it's been very difficult to find it. It's not just difficult to find it. You can find something that you want to do. It's difficult to get that interview, right? Because putting, oh, I was a teacher in Taiwan, when it's really more than that, or hey, I traveled to all these countries and I saw these cool things, when it's really more than that, right? And people who haven't done it, just as a fact, can't relate to it, can't understand it. They may see it as cool, but may not see it how it's beneficial to their company, to their job, or whatever they're trying to hire you for. So, I mean, one of the reasons why I want to have Nini on the podcast today, when she's able to call in and join the show, is because I kind of want her to talk about the new project she has going on and how she's discussing her experiences out here. I know people always talk about, I've even had the podcast, I do think CP Travels is one of the first Black-owned travel companies to start posting the way in which we were, to start sharing stories the way in which we were, right? Because it was during the social media boom where there were things up there. People weren't utilizing it specifically for travel or specifically for moving abroad, right? This was kind of a new phenomenon that some people who were living abroad for a long time already had been doing, but not everyone had been doing. So I do know that we were one of the first to do that. Yeah, I mean, but it's still a very unique phenomenon, because now we're able to share things and to put ourselves out there. And that is really, really important, right? We now have a virtual and a digital resume that we can share and put out there. So without further ado, before I dive deeper into that topic, I definitely want to welcome Nini onto the podcast. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Hello, everyone. I'm doing good. How are you feeling today, this evening?
I am okay. You know, I'm at the bar. The bar's open, but I had to close it down because the podcast was real important. It's not closed. I'm actually sitting in the door. Ain't nobody come in yet. But but how has your week been so far, right? It's Tuesday for us, Monday for some. How have you been?
I'm good. My week has been good. No complaints, really. I'm just been wondering about the weather. It's supposed to be winter, and I'm wondering why I'm sitting with the AC on in my apartment, but other than that, everything is good.
Man, and you know what? That's actually real, because maybe it was last week and the week before, it was like chilly. I was wearing sweaters. I was like, man, it's wind. I was like, oh, this is a nice little breeze. And then one day I woke up and I was sweating, and the dog, Ava, looking at me like, you gonna turn the fan on, bro? We all hot in here.
Literally. Literally. But no, Taiwan's good. Everything's good. School's good. No complaints over here.
I'm definitely not going to complain about 84 degree weather because Chicago is talking about 40 degrees. And, you know, I don't miss that windy city, the wind of the windy city at all. But is this your first winter here? No, it's your second winter here, right?
Yes, this is my second. I remember it being cooler this time last year, but maybe I just got my months mixed up. But yeah, this is my second winter here.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
Time's flying.
In Taipei, I could definitely distinguish the winters, but in Taichung, it's just hot. It's either hot, humid, or you just confused day. But no, I definitely understand that. So thank you for joining the podcast once again. It's good to have you on. I don't know if you remember the things you talked about on the previous podcast, but I definitely introduced that a little bit for the audience, for those of them who forget how awesome you are and the amazing things that you were doing. But I definitely want to, you know, have for you to talk about the recent project that you started that I've tuned into each episode and I've enjoyed. And I shared it with my mother and she likes it. So if she gets on, she'll probably tell you that herself. But can you just talk to us about your newest project and what you have going on?
Okay, so thank you for having me again. I'm excited to be back. But recently, about a month ago, actually, exactly a month ago, which is crazy, I started a YouTube channel. This is my second go around with the YouTube channel. And it's interesting because I know when we first had the first podcast, I was actually asking you about, you know, your podcast and how you got started and entrepreneurship. And I had no idea just a few months later, you know, this is the route that I would decide to go. So a lot has changed in a few months. And I'm really excited about this journey that I've decided to, you know, move forward with. So, you know, I just figured with what I had, I wanted to start something with what I had and what I could do right now. So for me, I thought a YouTube channel would be best. And I thought, what better way to kind of just document my journey living abroad. So that's kind of where that idea came about and what I decided to venture out with.
So has the idea of documenting your, you know, your experience and your journey abroad been something that you've thought about for a long time and you're kind of struggling with how to get started? Or was it something that kind of, you know, came within the past few months and you're like, you know what, I want to get started on something. This is where I want to begin. I'm going to just jump right into it.
I think I've always wanted a YouTube. I tried a YouTube a few years ago and I got burnt out really quickly because I just felt personally my intentions behind it weren't really in the right place. So I knew at some point I always wanted to have a YouTube channel. And I felt like just, you know, over the years with experiencing more things and kind of doing more internal work with myself, I felt like now was a good time to try to do that again. And with me living abroad, I've had a few people mention it to me since I've been here. A lot of people thought I would start one when I first moved here, and I don't know, it just didn't feel right at the time. So I've had a few people put it in my ear, and of course people at home are just always curious. They want to know really little things about what I do here, you know, like, do they have shopping malls there, how do you do this, how do you do that? So I think just collectively I put all everything together and I figured I could do that with the YouTube channel. So I think the idea was always there, but the timing with me to just start came like, just, you have to do it. You've been thinking about it long enough, just start. And I think that was what came a little more surprising than I thought, if that makes sense.
So like, what is the name of your YouTube channel? And where can it, I know it can be found on YouTube. That was a stupid question, but what is the name of your YouTube channel?
Yeah, no, it's okay. So it's just under my name right now. My name is Nania Yasmin. I'll go ahead and, yeah. So I can spell my name if you guys want, or maybe we can link it.
I'll definitely link it in the description of the podcast. So they'll be able to click on it once the podcast goes live and look at it too.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure if I can, I guess, I'm so new at this. I guess I can title all of my videos like the name of my channel. I would like it. I didn't know you could change. You could. I wasn't sure that you could have a channel name. But yeah, as of now, you can just search my first and middle name and my video should come up. Or if you search anything Taiwan, Black in Taiwan, I'm sure my video will come up. There weren't a lot of videos about Taiwan when I decided to do this as well. I was kind of surprised. I didn't find a lot of videos about Black expats living here.
And you know, the funny thing is, I literally went to YouTube and typed in Black in Taiwan, and you are the first video that pops up. Shout out to you.
Okay.
Yes, your YouTube channel is your name. NNEINIAYASMEEN. That is the name of your YouTube channel. And that's where you can find all of the amazing content you're opening up. So are you? Uh-oh, wait, you just came in my headphones. I don't know if you heard that. I remember the first time you podcast with me. Well, the first time you had a podcast, you were a little bit nervous. So, like, what is the difference between, you know, because you have podcasted live in person with me, and now you're doing it over the phone. Is there a difference between how you do it now with videos and YouTube versus the actual podcasting experience? Is there any reason why you specifically wanted to focus on YouTube as opposed to maybe writing articles or having like or even having your own podcast for that matter?
I think I do.
Ooh, she cut out. Hey, are you there? You cut out.
Can you hear me?
There we go.
Sorry, yes, somebody called me. I'm so sorry. I think I get a little bit more nervous with podcasts because it is on the spot. So I don't know. You have to be a little quicker on your feet with your thoughts and, you know, just make sure you try to get what you're trying to say out in a clear manner so that the listeners can understand what you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. I think with YouTube, I chose YouTube again. It's just kind of always been like something I've wanted to do. I've watched YouTube since probably middle school, and I always thought it was so cool. And so now that over the years we've seen how many opportunities come from YouTube. And you know, there's people that I've been watching for years on there. And so now that I'm older and I can see that, wow, you know, I could do this too. This is literally something you can just pick up and start doing. I think it's just kind of something I always wanted to try. I like the visuals, you know, I love the videos personally. I watch YouTube all the time. So I think that was just fitting for me, which is why I chose YouTube.
Wow, well, that is really exciting. So what has been your, how many episodes have you put up so far? And like, what is your goal? Like, what is the message that you're trying to put out with each episode that you upload on your YouTube channel?
Okay, so I started a month ago. I have 3 videos out. I'm working on my 4th one. It'll be out on Sunday. Again, with this YouTube channel, this was an idea that had kind of just been on my mind for a while. So I really just wanted to start. That was my number one goal, was to just start, because I would find myself really overwhelmed with how many ideas I had and, you know, how I would do this and that. So that was really my number one goal. And right now it's just to maintain that consistency. Again, I figured just start with what you know, start with what you can, which was my experience, you know, here in Taiwan. Now that I'm going on 2 years, you know, I feel like I've gone through enough. I've learned a lot. That's just something that I felt comfortable with sharing, especially because it's such a different perspective than what people back home are familiar with. And, you know, I felt like people would genuinely be interested in that. I know long term, I just want to be open to what, I mean, it's okay if, I guess, long-term things may change. I don't have any plans of being in Taiwan forever, so I know my channel may grow as I grow as well. I do know one of the main reasons why I wanted to start a channel was just for connection, and I think maybe that's another reason why I was able to start it now that I'm in Taiwan, because I'm not at home around my family and my friends, and so sometimes it can be kind of isolating, and I felt like, you know, I just wanted to have my little piece of the internet since we all are on it. We all use it. It's not going anywhere at any, you know, anytime soon. So I wanted to use it as a way to connect with people and just really talk about things. So I'm hoping with me, as I become more comfortable with talking on camera and getting better with getting my thoughts and ideas out there, then maybe over time it can get a little bit more deeper into, you know, things that people just struggle with all together, and maybe it doesn't have to be so focused on me just living in Taiwan. I think that's just where I'm at in the moment, and so that's what I decided to go with.
So are you looking for or open to possibly having people on for interviews to discuss their perspectives, or something that you kind of want to have your story your way for now with what you're working to create?
Absolutely. I would love to have people on my channel for sure. Absolutely. I think sometimes people assume, I don't know, maybe because people just don't know. So they're like, you know, what do you do out there? Like, literally, what do you do out there? So I would love for them to see that, you know, just to see everything that is here. So absolutely, I would definitely love to have people on my channel. I don't know if it would maybe be interviews or just maybe like on YouTube, those Q&As are big. So maybe I can have a video with, like, you know, maybe a few of us answering questions and seeing the different perspectives, especially because I have met so many people here from different countries and different cultures. I think it would be, you know, amazing to highlight that on my channel. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing things like that in the near future.
Yeah, because I mean, I think that would be exciting. I know one thing that people always have told me is, oh, you should put your podcast on YouTube because people like to look at you when you talk. And I'm always like, man, first of all, I don't think people want to look at my face for that long. Secondly, when I do my podcast, especially when I'm doing interviews, I know I can do interviews, I think, with video, because that's where I'm not necessarily so dependent on creating my own story and putting things out there, right? Because when I'm podcasting, I'm not only telling a story about me, I'm also trying to, like, go into details about points, references, and so on and so forth. So for me, because I do rely sometimes on notes, I'm like, well, I don't want to make a video of it. And also, I know my videos, I think the best thing about YouTube is making a YouTube channel is, when I'm talking about my experience in Taiwan, I don't think people will want to sit through a 35-minute video of just me talking about what I have going on in Taiwan. But with the podcast, I can stop, come back to it. You know, oh, this is important. Or, oh, yeah, I want to hear more about this. This is cool. With YouTube, I think I could do that. But I've always been interested in seeing what I would look like being on, you know, a YouTube channel, kind of talking about things and having a conversation. I think that would be really really cool and really fascinating to do. So what is your setup like? Do you have like a ring light and you have a bunch of cameras around you? You have someone helping you film, or is it all done you on your own?
So right now it's just me. I don't have anything. I've designated my filming days to Saturday and Sundays because I know I'm at home during the day and I can use the natural sunlight. I do have a nice camera that I invested in a few years ago. But other than that, I didn't buy anything starting now. I didn't even buy a tripod. I'm like, because I know me, I've gotten excited about these ideas before, and then I'll put all this money into it and I won't stay with it. So with YouTube, I was like, I just want to get the videos out there, stay consistent. And I didn't want to keep making excuses for myself, like, oh, because I don't have a tripod or because I don't have a fancy camera or, you know, all this stuff, then I can't start. So as of now, I use what I have. I do have a camera that I've had for a few years, and that's really it. I use iMovie. It's free to edit my videos. And I'm just enjoying the process. And, you know, as we move forward, I'm sure my equipment and things like that can grow with it. But yeah, I started with what I had.
So if you had to come up with maybe, and I want to keep it to 2 to 3 sentences to describe your YouTube channel and why, well, let's just do 2 separate questions. To describe a YouTube channel and 1 or 2 sentences, how would you describe it?
Okay. How would I describe my YouTube channel in 2 sentences? I think I would describe it as... Man, see, you're putting me on the spot. This is why podcasting and interviews are difficult. But this is a great question. I should know how to explain this. But I would say my YouTube channel is for traveling, of course. I think it's for inspiration and for just creating. Those are like maybe 3 short words that I can put to explain what to expect from my channel. I think anyone who considers themselves open-minded or independent thinker would enjoy the videos that I plan to put on my channel in the near future as I continue to upload videos. And again, it's just for relatable connection and conversations, really. I just want to have something that is community-based that people can feel free to share ideas and, again, perspectives and things like that. So I hope that answers the question.
That was a great answer. And again, it is sometimes it's difficult. I'm like, man, two sentences. I have so much to say about it. But you know what? Hey, traveling, cool stuff. Because it's me.
Yes.
Like, that's why you should listen to it, because for those reasons. I guess one of the last questions I guess I wanted to ask is because I think I can definitely relate when you say like all the excuses of not wanting to start something, right? So like with me with writing my second book, I was like, I'm not going to get it done. So podcasting was an alternative to it. But when I started podcasting, my first podcast, it was just me talking about the things that I had been doing that I wanted to put inside of the book that I would eventually write that I'm 75% done with now. But again, the feeling I had whenever I got on the microphone, and I still have the same feeling to this day, I feel so comfortable. I feel relaxed. Mm-hmm. I feel excited. I feel like at peace. And it's weird to say that I feel at peace when I'm talking to essentially myself and sometimes someone else when doing an interview, like when I'm podcasting, mm-hmm. because, you know, you really wouldn't. But that's how I know that this is what I really should be doing. This is what I love doing and why I'm going to continue to do that. So when you are, you know, getting set up and then once you're in the mode and you're talking and you're doing your shows, I know you haven't done that many yet, but you've done, you know, quite a few, because, you know, a lot of people do one and then stop. So the fact that you're, you know, you're continuously going and you have a schedule, and that's really like we've all started something like, you know what, nah, I'm just gonna cut that down. But you know, how does it feel every time you are on camera and you're just by yourself and you're in that moment? Like, can you just walk us through that feeling of what it feels like to have your own channel and to record it and then upload it and all those things?
Yes, it feels exciting. It feels like such a relief. I know since I've started, you know, I've gotten a ton of support, which has really been exciting. You know, I knew my family and my friends would be all tuned in, but I've actually just recently got a message last night from somebody, you know, somebody that I don't know. And they were just letting me know how they ran into my channel and it was inspiring and they were excited to see what came from my channel. And that was not, you know, I wasn't expecting that. So that has been the best part about it, is I just feel relief and excited about moving forward. I know that I feel like I have so many, my ideas are coming faster than I can edit. So I think that's a good thing to, you know, to feel like I have more to give. So when I'm getting ready to record, recording is my favorite part for sure. I love to sit down and talk to the camera. I know it's weird. When I first did my first video, I was like, is this normal? I'm literally talking to myself about myself. So I did feel a little uncomfortable, but then I had to like put myself in the shoes of the viewer. And I'm like, I watch YouTube all the time. I don't think that about the people behind the camera. So I have to just keep that in mind. And you know, like I said, I've only done a few videos, but yeah, I enjoy being behind the camera. I think the biggest thing for me has been editing. You know, I'm having to learn a lot as I do that. So that's been a learning process. But the actual recording comes kind of natural. So I may come up with like, you know, little bullet points a day or two before I record the video, just so I can try to get my thoughts together and I'm not spending the entire day recording, because then you kind of get tired and you don't want to get frustrated. Because it'll show in the video. But yeah, it's exciting. And then once you actually get it done and put it out there and you receive feedback, it's like, okay, I definitely want to keep going. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited to keep going with it.
No, and I can definitely completely understand that. One of the things I think that deterred me from doing YouTube was the editing process. Like with the podcast, people will tell you, I always said, once I start getting paid a little bit more for podcasting, I'll put a lot more into editing. So for now, I try to get it. It's all in one take. Like we do it, we record it, bam, be uploaded in 30 minutes, depending on how long it is.
Nice.
But yeah, but it's, again, it's, yeah. I also want, part of my thing is, again, it's me, it's the Black Expat. I want my imperfections to be a part of it, right? And if people like the content, then they'll tune in. And then if it gets great and more people want to hear it, then yes, I'll invest a lot more, because one, I'll have the sponsors to do that, I'll have the following to do that, and I'll have the time. Because then you have to break away from your job, because you're still working full time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, it's and you have your weekends, but also sometimes things come up. You have birthdays. You have, again, you may just want to travel for the weekend if things come up. So the consistency is really important. So I know, man, shout out to editing. That I've learned so much from editing videos about things that I didn't think that I could learn. I was like, man, I didn't know. This is kind of cool. And each time I edit a video, I always learn something new. So that was always a really cool part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Well, I'm looking forward to my official invite to be on the channel. I'm really excited. Hopefully, if I am invited, shout out to
we definitely have to do that. We definitely could set up the camera, do a podcast, video, all in one for sure.
Oh my God, a podcast video? That'd actually be kind of dope. I can actually see if people would enjoy that. Thank you. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think it would be too. People would be excited.
I know I've been saying that for a while. I definitely need to get down to Hsinchu. I know I've been saying that. My bad. It just be busy. It's the holiday. You know, we got Friendsgiving. If you want to come up for Friendsgiving? But I know I need to get up, not down, up to Hsinchu. That has been on me and Erica's things to do list. Because Patrick's been, I haven't been to Hsinchu yet to see you guys. And I know Cindy just moved away. One of our friends that lives down there. She just moved away.
She's gone. So guys have to come down. We try to do our little things together with our little friend group that's down here. So you guys let us know. We can definitely set up dinner or something. Or like I said, we could do a video here too. Just because, you know, my little friend group, we all come from different places. So I've definitely been planning to do a video with them as well, just to, I guess, you know, again, maybe answers the same questions, but they'll be different because we all have different experiences and things like that. So we can set it up in Taichung, Hsinchu, both places. I'm down.
And the one thing I was like, it's really good to hear and like also really inspiring to hear that even, you know, as you've been doing it, you've had more and more ideas. One of the best things I've done is, and it's weird, now every time I get an idea, I'll be in the shower, I'll be teaching sometimes, or I'll be like at the bar and I'm like, oh man, I should talk about this on my podcast. And I'll just stop what I'm doing and I'll just have a notes entitled Ideas for Podcasts on my phone. I just jot them down because then when I look at it, I can recall everything that I've done. So, I mean, that's really, really cool. And I definitely have learned, even people that I've known for years, like even when I interview Patrick or I interview friends that I talk to on a daily basis, just always something new I learn about them. People talk about themselves very differently than when you're talking to them about whatever you guys are talking about, right? So, and those interviews are just so powerful and so moving. So again, I'm excited. I watch your channel already, as you know, and I told my mom about it. I'm going to tell all my friends about it again, and it'll be linked in this podcast. And you guys can tune in. So definitely check it out. It's amazing. I have amazing friends. Shout out to Taiwan. Shout out to me.
Yes, thank you for, like I said, I think we spoke something to existence with our podcast, and I was like, oh, me and Carl were just talking about this. And yes, you guys have definitely been an inspiration. I always tell my friends or people in general about what you guys are doing out here. So I'm excited to kind of join the gang. I want to be in it so we can talk about more ideas and keep prospering together.
Super excited for that moving forward. Is there anything else that you would like to share for the audience about your channel?
No, again, thank you guys, or thank you, Carl, for having me. I will have a video out on Sunday. I like to put them out Sunday around 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I know that's when people are at home chilling, and they usually have time to sit down and watch a video. So if you're interested, definitely check me out. My name is the same on Twitter and Instagram as well. Check me out, and I will keep going from here. So there's a lot in stores. So thank you guys again, and I'm excited.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure having you on. Have a good evening. Thank you, Nania.
Okay, thank you. I'll see you guys soon. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay.
So thank you guys again. Another amazing interview. I love the people that I've been able to meet as a result of being out here in Taiwan. And again, it definitely touched on some of the things that that I was talking to before she got on the call with imposter syndrome, right? The idea and how expats struggle a little bit differently, or how we generally just struggle with it sometimes. Many of us may not even talk about it, right? But as being an expat, you do some pretty amazing things. And sometimes I know even for myself, well, for example, the events I'll have at the bar or the events that I'll attend or the interviews I'll be on, people that I meet, I share them in my groups here because, you know, people are here. My friend groups are here. My family isn't here, or my immediate family isn't here, but extensions of family is here, but not my immediate family. But it's different, right? So then when you try to put it out there for, you know, your entire audience, your family, your friends and back home, et cetera, sometimes you may double think about what you post or when you post or how you post it. Some people don't. They're like, whatever, post whatever's going on. And if people do follow, they follow. If they don't, they don't. But it definitely is something that imposter syndrome is real and how we deal with it. So little thing, not but little and big things like starting your own podcast, and then big things like starting your own YouTube channel and starting to kind of catalog the things that you've gone through, things that you're doing, things you have going on is a huge step. It is a big step and is a very, very important step, and something that is big for, you know, dealing with and moving past an imposter syndrome. So in with everything that's going on in the world, right? And I definitely am going to channel this, because Nia's interview was just so great. I'm going to channel this into a future podcast. What I kind of want to touch on a little bit now is things that I've kind of grown out of the world that we're in today. And something that I didn't really get into detail with her, because I kind of wanted to focus on, you know, her craft and a new YouTube channel that she has going on, is, you know, all these things, the new things that she's created and new things that others have created that I've interviewed and have been on the podcast show have happened in spite of the coronavirus. Now, I do want to say for sure that I understand that in Taiwan, they've handled the coronavirus very, very well. So how things and what we're able to do as a result of living here and being expats here is very, very different. But staying motivated and just simply starting something and doing it. Now, I want to touch on this, because a lot of people said at the height of the coronavirus, when it first came out, right, people were like, don't tell me because of the coronavirus that you need to start, you know, doing something or doing this and that, like everybody with their own pace, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I completely understand and respect that. At the same time, it has been a time, and I've said this many, many times, the time that we have now at home, many of us, not all of us, some of us, not even many of us, some of us still are, you know, are the workers in the hospitals and things like that. They don't have the time. Shout out to Liana again. But if you have the time and you are afforded the time to have, you know, to think about things differently, to start a passion project, to just simply start something, now is a great time to simply do that, right? And even if you don't see it all the way through, like Nania said on the interview, I just wanted to get started because I've been saying for a long time that I'll never do this, I'll never have the time. And she maybe didn't get started because of the coronavirus, right? Because of how it impacted her. Because Taiwan shut down for 2 weeks and then we were open since then. Like everything was business as usual. However, given the circumstance with more people being back at home and able to watch YouTube from home, even if they are working from home, they can have YouTube up and be waiting on calls or writing emails or whatever. This is a great time to do that. And I think for everyone, because more people are back at home and talking about ideas, right? When you're at home and you're not out as much as you used to be around other people, that you really pick and choose, and correct me if I'm wrong, may not be true for everyone, but if I was back at home with the coronavirus, I would be way picking and choosing more carefully who I spend my time with. One, I don't want to get the virus, duh. But two, you still have your needs, right? With like my sister says, I still have my needs as a person. Yeah, the virus sucks. I want to be careful, but I still have my needs. So if I want to spend time with my best friend or a good friend, I want to have these conversations, have my safe space, then I'm going to do that, right? And if you have this time to do that and you're having these more intimate and in-depth conversations about your goals, about your dreams, about your life, and if you're having these conversations, if there is any way, I know financially people have been impacted, but if there is any way for you to just simply start something, before it would been a great time to do it, absolutely. But now there's no time like the present. And I think that is what's motivating a lot of people, because I know for a fact, you know, I'm big on mental health. Coronavirus has affected many people's mental health, not just expats, people back at home, but specifically for expats, it definitely did. And where our solace and our joy and our happiness kind of comes from is the ability to continue to do things. And Taiwan provides us with that opportunity and has provided us with that opportunity. So you look at Toy's interview. If you haven't checked it out, check out Toy Story. She's been on the podcast 3 times, and she's just an amazing person, an amazing woman. But each interview that she has, right, the amazing thing she's done, because she didn't end up going back home to America like she planned over the summer. She didn't end up finishing the business that she started right before COVID, which impacted her business greatly with her twin sister. However, that didn't stop her. She didn't just stop. She didn't just give up. She kept going. She created something new. She created something different, right? She was the first Black woman to have a float at Pride Taiwan. First Black woman to do so. First, probably, maybe even the first, right? So that's huge. She's done a lot of them. She's doing this thing in Taiwan called Community Convos, right? She created something, a space, because of what everyone was going through with, you know, all the killings of Black people back home in America. Amid COVID, amid not being able to go home at your leisure, having to commit so much money and time just to make it back home with quarantines, et cetera, she created a space to talk about the things, but not that, even more. So again, amid everything that's going on, right, staying motivated, refocusing yourself, remaining confident and strong and moving forward, that opportunity is still there. And again, Ania in her interview, what we just heard, is a prime example that she was like, you know what? Hey, I just wanted to do this for a long time and I've never done it. I always, oh, I didn't need a tripod to do it. And I was like, you know what? I could just do it like this. And I don't know if you guys check out a YouTube channel. Definitely check it out. The first time I saw it, it looks amazing. Visually stunning. Edits on point. Like, it's an amazing YouTube channel, right? It's great. I'd encourage you to check it out. I mentor young women back home in Chicago. I shared it with them immediately. Sharing it with my younger sister. So, I mean, it's there's so many amazing things that have been going on. So many bad things have been going on, but there are amazing things that could grow from that. What I do want to analyze and point out is that since for expats, when COVID first started, this really wasn't the case. Like these things, as a result of coronavirus, a lot of things have kind of had to take off, right? Another example I'll use is with Zoe. If you guys checked out the podcast, Zoe's Way, she was on the podcast twice. And when she was first on, before coronavirus got as bad as it did worldwide, she was talking about getting started with being an entrepreneur, right? After coronavirus, she had a huge bump. And then all of a sudden, she regathered herself and then everything she started to do took off. She's now writing hella articles. She launched her home website, highlighting Black businesses all over the island in Taiwan. She's doing amazing interviews. Like, she's doing amazing things as well. Another example is in-house bartender, right? Pre-coronavirus, it was a great concept that I gave Patrick, even though he always says somebody else gave it to him, but we talked about it in the bar. I definitely gave it to him, whatever. In-house bartender, it took off in large part because of the coronavirus, right? People are trapped at home, but it started with a simple concept of coronavirus was going on. He was stressed out, worried about his family, worried about himself, worried about us, right? He was like, you know what? Y'all need to stay y'all ass home and drink. And he started making videos called Stay Your Ass Home and Drink. People were like, you know what? I like these cocktails you're making. Can you teach me? Oh, yeah, you know what? I could teach classes about this. Boom, in-house bartender. Now he's doing things with Google, right? He's doing corporate events. He's doing things with Airbnb. Like, he's doing things with big groups of close friends, people he's never met before. It's taken off, right? Again, you hit that bump. Coronavirus gave us all that bump, that stress, that mental health challenge, that, you know, that fear, that pain, that anger, that anguish, that financial impact. Some of us extremely negative, some of us still extremely negative, right? Because, you know, brother out here struggling, become a patron of the Black Expat Podcast if you want to help out. But, you know, we hit that bump, but it's what you do after that bump that propels you forward, right? You have to get that bump, take it in. And now it's not just you taking it in. A lot of people, most of the world have been impacted by coronavirus. You know, the rich haven't that much. Maybe they haven't. I don't know. I'm not rich. Some people haven't. You know, they already were working remotely, or they had jobs that allowed them to easily transition into doing things. But it still has impacted you in a way. It impacted your mentally. And if it didn't impact you, it impacted people that were closest to you or around you. And that matters because that impacts your life as well. Right. And those things. And again, for me, I use the example of, if you check out another podcast episode I did with Mr. Market Sniper, right, with Malachi. He created during a pandemic a way to teach Black people and people from all over, not just Black people, white, whatever, from all over the world, ways to Forex trade, to trade in the Forex market, to make money from your home on your couch. But not just, you know, not just have you trade with him, but provide you with a way to learn, to study, to grow, to be financially free. Right. Financial freedom is what we're preaching. And if it's hard to get right now because your job is talking about layoffs, or you're hired now and you're worried about the future because you don't know when your state's going to open back up, when it's going to shut down again. Like, these are so many things going on. But it's what you do after that bump that propels you forward, that gives you the energy to face things that are going to happen again. Because although, you know, the bump of coronavirus hit hard, things may have gotten better, but then, like, there's always something that's going to come up. You guys know it's just life. There's always something happening, always things going on, always problems that you have to solve and challenges you have to overcome. Like, that's real, right? But it's the bump. It's the things you do after the bump. And again, I've just been so fortunate to interview, to talk to be surrounded by people who are always constantly inspirations for me. Because I'm not going to lie, it's hard, you know, set up podcast people, because you got to check in with them first. You have to, you want to, but then you want to make sure that I myself am mentally in the space to provide the positivity that I want to provide on my podcast. Yeah. I'll touch on hard subject to discuss. Right. But I'm always, you guys know me, I'm Captain Positive. I'm always going to put a positive spin on things and uplift and encourage, because that's what I know I want and need in my life. That's also the message that I want to put out, no matter what I'm doing, who I'm talking to, or what we are doing together. Right. And that is important. So when I do a podcast called Growth Through Uncertainty, and in the midst of the presidential election, which was everybody was on pins and needles during that presidential election for America with, you know, Trump and Biden, and President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala win. It's like, you know what? Whew. All right, y'all. That was that bump. That's coronavirus. Coronavirus bump. And we kind of still on that bump. Some of us are kind of catapulting off of it or deciding, you know what? It's here. Been here for a while now. It ain't going nowhere. I got to figure it out. Right. And that was kind of similar to that. I was like, you know what? He been here. He ain't going nowhere for a little bit, 2 months, but now we're going to figure it out. Right. So, I mean, yeah, it's those things matter and those things are really, really important. And then even this has provided me an opportunity to interview a Taiwanese expat. Shout out to you, Tian, who married a black man and then went back to America, living and working there. But then hearing her perspective of even during a pandemic, I asked her, which place would you choose? She's like, yeah, now, obviously, because Taiwan is open, I would choose Taiwan. But if it wasn't the pandemic, I would choose America. But hearing the explanations why, because you guys know how I feel about it. I would love to live in America, just not full time. I don't even want to live in Taiwan full time. I want to be 6 months here, 6 months there. Business is here. I'm basically just a remote worker doing a bunch of amazing things, right? And I've always wanted to have my own radio show, but a traveling radio show. If you guys know somebody that wants to have me on their radio show, have me be a host, hit a real G up. I definitely want to have my own radio show. That's what I've been working toward. I'm going to get into another podcast detailing why I think I should do that. But I'm also touching on interviewing other people who have accomplished things that they thought they should do and how they got to be able to do that. And they're expats and they're awesome. Right. So, I mean, so many doors have just been open. And amid all the challenges, struggles, and obstacles that this year has brought upon us and to us. So, you know, it's just been, I don't know. I just, it's like Nene's interview was just so good. I'm not going to lie. I know I talk about imposter syndrome, but you know, it's real. It is something where, you know, again, one more time, a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their skills, their talents, or accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. You feel like that? Talk about what you're doing. Put it out there. Right, write about it. If you're not good at speaking, write about it. If you're not good at writing, speak about it. If you're not good at either one of those, put yourself on camera because everyone's different on camera. Right? When someone says take a picture, you don't just sit there and look the same way you've always been looking. Maybe you do. Sometimes we do that too. I don't know. But for the most part, you change. You're different. You switch it up a little bit. Right. And again, just talking to Nene about different things, right? We're the similar, we're similar but different. Whereas she's like, man, I don't like interviews, not like podcasts, because just how the setup is. And I'm like, well, yeah, I love interviews and podcasts because that's just how I work. But I'm like, man, I being on camera and talking is extremely difficult. I don't see how she does. Like, that is a talent of itself. Again, different strokes for different folks. But I have such an appreciation and admiration for her being able to do that because it's hard, right? I think a lot of people say like, oh, you just podcast. Like, you just get on the microphone and you just talk. Like, that's it. Like, no, it's hard to talk for 35 consecutive minutes to yourself and sound interesting and sound engaging and get people to want to come back and listen to you again. That ain't easy. Even on YouTube, you may be the most beautiful person in the world. I take that back because people be on YouTube just looking at the camera and people are tuning in. And many people tune in depending on what you look like. But, you know, I mean, like, it's hard to set up what you're going to say for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes on YouTube where you're not gaming. Right? Well, you're not doing an interview. It's just you sharing yourself and sharing your story. These things are difficult to do. Right? And so that's why I said, and I joked about it with Nene, I'm like, man, some people start, they'll do one or two and they'll stop. But she has no plans on stopping. She's going to keep moving forward and pushing forward. That's admirable. And talking to people who are as motivated, if not more motivated than yourself or the people that are in your immediate circle, people that you know. That is how you keep moving forward. That is how I am once again motivated to continue podcasting, seeking more interviews, doing more interviews, right? You guys know Black Expat Podcast has evolved. It started as just me talking about my stuff and my stories and my experiences. And I'm not going to lie, I got some dope ass stories. If you don't believe me, go back and listen to episodes 1-10. They don't sound the same. My equipment was very, very different at the time. But man, I got some hella stories. However, like I've always said, I learn so much each and every time I'm able to. I'm fortunate enough to gather someone to interview. It's just amazing. And I say that to say, like I've been telling people, I tell people who have grandparents who are in their 80s or 90s or aunts and uncles in their 50s, 60s, 70s, talk to them about life, right? As much as we as expats or just as people, even if you're not an expat, you have your own YouTube channel, you have your own podcast, as much as we give back, and we share our experience about what we have going on now in different parts of the world. Like, Our parents even lived in a world so different than ours. And as kids, you don't really, they tell you a little bit about it, but you don't really, as an adult, like what you understand and what you can think of now, you don't really have a chance to ask those in-depth questions. You don't have the frame of reference, the understanding, be able to look at them and have them respect you as another adult. That's real, especially for some parents. Y'all know what I'm talking about. To ask them about what their life was simply like, what the world was like, what their challenges were, how they overcame them. That's powerful stuff. And no one will tell you like your mom, like your dad, like your grandma, like your grandpa, like your aunties. No one will tell you like that. Like some people, they'll give you bits and pieces. But for the most part, your family's going to be hella honest with you and give you the real. I always tell a story about how my mom talked about, she never really mentioned, you know, growing up doing Jim Crow. If white people throwing rocks at her bus, she was going to school and being scared to walk to school. I ain't know that. But when I heard it, I was like, man, you lived through that? Hey, that's a strong black woman right there. All of them are. We know that. But man, my mama though, hello. You know, and it's just little things like that. So, and I say all this to say, we are all surrounded by and connected with some really, really amazing people. So it is really, really important that you know that you put yourself out there, do everything that you can to make these connections and keep everything going. So thank you guys for tuning in to the Black Expat Podcast. Shout out to Nania for having an amazing interview. If you missed the interview, I'm going to upload this podcast probably tonight because it'll be Wednesday. Definitely check it out. She has her own YouTube channel. Definitely check out our YouTube channel. It is her name, N-N-E-N-I-A. And if you want to go to YouTube, just check in Black in Taiwan. I think he's the first person that'll pop up. But as always, thank you guys for tuning in to the Black Expat Podcast. My name is Carl, the Black Expat. If you haven't already, become a patron. They made this clap so much longer. I'm sorry, y'all, but we out here.